oceanic territory, waters, right? Waters mean sea, not water. Okay, water and waters are two different things. So please don't misunderstand. Some people said, you don't know the grammar of English. There is a difference, very important difference between waters and water. Okay, sea, ocean, that's what I mean when I say waters. The plural S indicates that. And naturally, islands that we live in, or rather live on, I should say. Can we protect that? This seems to imply security, defense of the country. Today, you know, we have self-defense forces. Approximately, we have 280,000 troops in Japan. SDF stands for Self-Defense Forces, right? I don't know if I should get into the history of it. Maybe you get bored. So, Jietai is SDF, right? This was made in 1951, and then changed to, well, first they didn't call it Self-Defense Forces. They call it National Police Reserve. And the name was changed slightly in 1952, National Safety Reserve. And then finally, in 1954, we decided to call it Self-Defense Forces. So the name underwent a few changes, but basically the content is the same. As you know, Article 9 of the Japanese Constitution, I think you've heard about it many times, Article 9, of the Japanese Constitution. How many of you read the Japanese Constitution? From the first chapter to the last chapter. Not too many people. Well, it's kind of difficult to talk to the people who haven't read the Constitution. But anyway, according to the Constitution and according to the majority of the constitutionalists, shall I say, we are not supposed to have any armament. Because other people disagree with that. The people in Japan generally feel SDF is a necessary thing. The funny thing is, since the 1950s, all the way down up to all the way up to this period, about 80% of the Japanese people think that we should have self-defense forces, some sort of armament. Are you surprised? There's no big change. There hasn't been any big change. Okay, so maybe people feel we do need some sort of armament. But what kind of armament do we want? What kind of armament do we want? The Japanese public has strange, contradictory ideas about this. A lot of people in Japan say, okay, on the one hand, we want armament, but we don't want the army to be too strong. We want the army to help the people who are suffering from earthquakes, some natural disasters, earthquakes, floods, forest fire, and things like that. So actually, people don't want the Japanese army to be really, you know, strong with all kinds of modern weapons. Okay, can we defend Japan if another country attacked Japan under the circumstances? Okay, let's say if, let's make a hypothetical question, right? That's a good question. The Soviet Union decided to attack Japan using missiles, SSN-10, which travels about 6,000 kilometers, 6,500, right? Comes to Tokyo. It reaches. I don't know how long it will take, but how can we defend our country? And with nuclear warheads, can we defend Japan against nuclear attacks? Kakuheki. How many of you think that we can defend Japan against Russian nuclear attacks? Nobody. All right. Do you think, the next question, do you think if Russians attack Japan, Americans will come to help? That we have so-called Anpo Joyaku, Japan-US Security Pact, which was signed in 1951, renewed number of times. Okay, we do have this, and America says, if something happens, it will come to our help. But will it really sacrifice over 200 million people to save 100 million people in Japan? Over 100 million, but I maybe 114 or something. But let's say 100, okay? Do you think we can depend upon the United States? Probably. What? Do you think we can depend on China? We don't have any military treaty with the People's Republic of China. We don't. We have a treaty of peace and friendship with China. And it doesn't have any article in which it says China will come to help Japan or Japan will go to help China in the event of attacks.
So that kind of USSR bombs or missile, good plan for China and USSR to defeat, to defeat the USSR.
USSR? But China is not strong militarily, not yet. Some say it takes about 20 years. Maybe 30 years before China becomes very modernized or strong enough to have, you know, the same kind of atomic weapons that Russians do. Now, Americans and Russians, they are evenly matched. They are about the same. So if Americans try to help Japan, if the Chinese help to try to help Japan, Russia, of course, shoot. They have enough weapons to do that. They can do all kinds of things. For example, Iran is in trouble. Iran is in trouble. Okay. Gulf of Persia. Red Sea can be controlled by the Russian ships. Russian ships are all over the world. The Indian Ocean also is infested with Russian ships. Japanese waters are also crowded with Russian submarines. And, you know, sometimes Russian submarines and American submarines clash under the water. But they don't say anything. Because we are allergic to atomic weapons. Japanese get hysterical. So they keep quiet. Atomic weapons, yes, they carry, but they don't explode until certain chemical mixture occurs, right? So some people say, actually, atomic weapons are very, very safe until the perfect combination mixture can be carried out. That's what they say. But we are amateurs. We don't know exactly what's going on. But anyway, Mr. Sadat thinks, perhaps the Chinese and Americans will take advantage of this situation. If Russians try to attack Japan, they might take advantage of the chance and attack Russians. But Russians are very strong now, very strong. If Russians want to attack Japan, it doesn't take much time. Now, most of the population in Japan is located in where? Tokyo and its vicinity and the Kansai area. Okay, about 25% of the Japanese population are located in Tokyo and its vicinity. Okay, Kanagawa, Chiba, Saitama area, okay? And other percent, 50% will be in the Kansai area. So 40% of the Japanese population are concentrated in two major spots. If the big bomb, boom, boom, we are finished. It takes only 5 minutes. So some Japanese people say, why don't we have nuclear armament? Why don't we have the same weapon as they do? Now this is very, very difficult. First of all, we don't have enriched uranium. No shikura, enriched uranium. We have to buy from the USA. Americans are getting very stingy, catchy these days. They don't want to do that, because Japan might make terrible things. Okay, so that's very difficult. But suppose they do agree to give us enriched uranium. Maybe we can make bombs, the kind of bombs that Indians made or Chinese made. Very primitive atomic bombs. We carry them by airplanes. But you know, airplanes are just slow. The Russians have missiles, zoom, come. You know, really, they can attack us in a real brief period of time. So we don't have a chance, they say. Besides, we don't have any place to experiment our weapons. If we use them, we have to test them. Do we have any testing place? No. Wars, too difficult to do that. Can we ask Americans to let us use their desert, Arizona? Americans say no. We cannot ask Russians to do that because Russians are our hypothetical enemies. They will never agree. So perhaps it's impossible. But even if we can do it, where are we going to keep the weapons? Most people hate the nuclear weapons. Terrible things for Japanese people. So it's very hard. Some people say, even if we have the launchers, shooting, you know, weapons, still we cannot do it because Russia is too far. America is too friendly. And China, we just became friends recently, so we cannot kill Chinese. Koreans, we are fighting against Koreans, so where do we use our weapons? There is no good place to use. So there is no way, really, of making and launching weapons. So shall we wait for the Russians to visit us? Okay, Russians, take over our country. It's all yours. What shall we do? This is my guess. I don't think Russians want to kill Japanese because there is no natural resource in here. Nothing. The most important resource that we have is a human resource in Asia, right? We have education, we have technology. They are interested in these things. So they would like to make slaves out of us if they want to come to Japan. If they want. I don't know if they do or not. I have no idea. But situation, we have to think of the worst possible situation, right? So I'm saying Russia B, I'm not sure how real it is. So Russia, if I were Russian, I wouldn't. It's too difficult to control. So I would use somebody who is sympathetic to the Russians, the Japan Communist Party, or some radical students who would try to do something. But even this is becoming very difficult. But okay, anyway, in the realistic terms, perhaps Japanese territory is safe in the sense that the Russians perhaps are very, very unlikely to enter or encroach upon our land. Very, very unlikely. The way we can defend our country and survive through the 21st century, this sounds rather strange to you, is not to have nuclear armament, is not to have any big armament, but everybody should be sort of guerrilla fighters. You know guerrillas? Toshigeru type guerrillas? Everybody has to become a soldier. Men, women, children. And we sabotage their effort to control us. So we welcome them first. Okay, if you want to come in, take over Japan, you may do so. But we are going to sabotage you for many, many years to come. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, just like Vietnamese communists fought against Americans, just like the Chinese communists fought against Japanese. We can do the same, but the question is our morale, our spirit. Are Japanese ready to do that? So maybe the biggest question is not how many weapons we're going to have. It's a question of our determination, our commitment, whether or not we are really interested in our own country. If we think Japan is worthy of our blood, of our defense, maybe we should fight. And the only way that I can think of is for each person to be trained. Even tiny children should be trained. They can carry information, messages from village to village. Perhaps Japan should not have concentration of population in only one or two areas. Population should be dispersed across the country. A lot of us have to live in small cities. Maybe we shouldn't have cities. Maybe we all should live in some sort of villages. We should make tunnels. We should make underground, shelters, all kinds of things. And we have to make hospitals under the ground. We have to make all stockpiling place, so-called, keep food. You know, Switzerland and all those countries are doing that. Japan has no preparation. Actually, Japan is easiest to attack. For example, look at the economic situation. Now, Japan depends on trade, as everybody knows. See? So actually, if some countries decide to attack Japan, they don't have to shoot. All they do is just stop selling us certain kinds of things. Food, for example. Right? Our self-sufficiency rate, it's very, very low. Only 40% or something like that. West Germany, 85%. Anyway, Holland is one of the lowest. Next to Holland, Japan is the lowest, has the lowest self-sufficiency rate. So we're in a very bad situation. Oil, 99% of oil comes from outside, right? So when Iran had this problem, 17% of oil was cut off immediately. Now people say Saudi Arabia is in trouble. Kuwait will soon be in trouble. If Indonesia is in trouble, then we will have problems of supply. If Chinese leader change and decide, okay, Japanese, we are not going to sell you anything, then we are in trouble. In other words, they don't have to use atomic weapons. They can kill us easily. Have you ever thought about that? Now, we have lots of rice to survive. Vegetables, okay. But wheat, over 90% of wheat come from the United States. Soybeans, almost 100%. You know, I'll show you, tofu, everything. The soybeans, dyes come from the United States. So Americans decide to get mad at Japan for some reason. They stop everything. So-called majors, you know, major, we say, like Exxon, they have decided to cut down on oil supply 50% about 2-3 months from now. So we are getting into really tight, difficult, spot. And this is perhaps bring us trouble. So economically, trade-wise, Japan is in a real difficult situation. If people don't sell us, and if they don't buy our products, we are in trouble. And Americans, as you know, are getting mad at us because we are making too much money. So before you know it, maybe Japan will be in trouble. So economically, not only territorially speaking, but economically, we are in a rather difficult situation. How about political survival, political survival? Now, this means, basically, I'm talking about diplomatic situation, diplomatic negotiations with other countries. Are Japanese great diplomats? Can we communicate with the rest of the world very well? Some of you are going to debate tonight, so I don't want to give you my answers away. But what do you think? Are we great negotiators? Are we great manipulators of other nations? Do we understand them well, or do they understand us? What do you think of that? Some people say that Japanese are amateurs in politics, international politics. Do you think so? But I'm not sure about this. Japanese have a strange code of ethics. That is to say, if a certain situation changes, then we change. We call it situational ethics, jokyo rinri. We change according to the changes in circumstances. So if something happens, maybe we switch. If America becomes useless, we say goodbye to America. So maybe my guess is, if the Russians become more important to the Japanese, then we make friends with the Russians and say goodbye to Americans. Chinese have become very important all of a sudden. As you know, since 1972. Why? Because China is perhaps a nice market for us. Also, if Chinese and we become friends, maybe Russians try not to give us a hard time. This might be a miscalculation, but anyway, some think so. Some think so. Internal politics in the country. Is Japan stable? Internally speaking. Right now, the election time is here, right? Yes, I think it's very stable. Japan, we have so many parties. Usually, if you have many parties, country becomes unstable. But Japan is not so. In spite of the fact, say, LDP, Zimintou, and Japan Socialist Party seem to be opposed to each other very much. But actually, both are very conservative. And other parties are very conservative. And today, you hear about so-called Chudo, you know, middle of the roaders. They are becoming more and more powerful. Now, about the metropolitan election, Tochi said, 40% of the people don't belong to any party. In other words, whichever the political wind blows, it doesn't make that much difference, perhaps. People are basically conservative in this country. We don't want any big changes. So that's why Japan Communist Party has never been able to control the government. So basically, internal politics will remain the same, basically so. So maybe we can say, politically, in spite of so many problems we hear about, not so bad. How about culturally? Do you think we can survive through the 21st century? When you say culturally, what does it mean? I mean, this. I'm using sociologist term. You know sociologist, Misando? The person who studies sociological affairs, meaning in how society is made up of what kind of people, how it changes, and things like that. The way culture means it is only this means the way people live, the way people feel, the way people act in a certain way. the totality of this is called culture. It's not like Japanese bunkatek seikatsu. No, I'm not talking about it at all. Simply, I mean the way people live, the way people feel, the way people, you know, act in a certain way, unique to our own country. So Japanese have their own pattern of behavior. Japanese have their own pattern of feeling. Okay, this is what we call culture. Okay, culture. So please do not misunderstand my usage of the term. I'm not saying that culture is 文化的に高いは低い. I'm not talking about it at all. It's simply the way people live. That is sociologist's definition of the term. Here I can see stability, lot of stability. Japanese people don't change much, just like politics doesn't change so quickly. See, our buildings change maybe, our automobile models change constantly. Maybe our fashions change very fast, but people's attitude doesn't change much, as you know. So, if I give you an example, when I came back to Japan in 1971, after 10 years of stay in America, I was expecting to see a lot of changes on the part of the young people. No change. Even today, I don't see any big change in your attitude. You're basically silent type people. Basically, you like Amaya mentality. The Japanese people work very hard. The examination hell still is here. You know, Shikenjigoku is here. I don't think it has changed. And even the English education system hasn't changed much. You know, I went to one of the bookstores right away to see whether or not there has been any big change. No change. You know, Hara Sensei, Hishio Takashi, all these people. Same old people who taught me many, 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 many years ago. You know, 200 years ago, not 200 years ago. Many, many years ago, 20 years ago. So I think the Japanese people, they don't want to change. And basic Nanyuabi society remains. You can see the movies, Yakuza movies, all every year. Why do Japanese people like Yakuza movies? Because they're a good oyabunkoku relationship. And this kind of relationship doesn't change. People say, oh, I'm free, you know, I can do anything I want. But you always ask your mother or father, should I go to such and such university? You always depend upon somebody for decision. The young people rarely change. Maybe some of the students in this particular hall, auditorium, may be different. You are strange people. I don't know. But the majority of the Japanese that I have met are very much dependent upon other people for decision making. They don't make up their mind. The way you laugh hasn't changed since I left Japan in 1961. When you go, this hasn't changed. Or when I ask so-and-so, how would you like to answer this question? And you say, like this, you consult. And you never say, I know the answer, or I don't know the answer. You always talk to your somebody's around you first. So this sort of behavior hasn't changed. And I don't think it will change in the future either. Japanese are Japanese. And we think we are different. I hope I'm not giving too many hints to those people who are debating tonight. But I strongly feel this. And this morning I was listening to this program, Ichiko Inukai and Fukuda Tsuneari, program. And they were criticizing the Japanese behavior. But their behavior itself is very Japanese, I thought. Very Japanese. And they always want to compare Japanese behavior to Western behavior. They never compare, you know, Japanese people don't compare our behavior to, say, Latin American people's behavior or South African behavior. You know, we don't do that. Always gaijin means Americans and Europeans. What do you think? Your image of gaijin. Right away, if I tell you to come to the front and draw a picture of a gaijin that you have in mind, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes, big nose, you know, pinkish complexion or something like that. And this is what you call gaijin. But you never draw a picture of a Negro who lives in Kenya. Well, he or she is a gaijin too, you know, but you don't. Or you don't even draw a picture of a Korean or Chinese. They're also gaijin. So whenever I look at this, Japanese are the same. I don't know if this is good or bad. Maybe it's good. If we want to say, okay, continuity is important. Continuity is important. Stability is important. Then I think maybe Japanese are certainly capable of living through the 21st century. But, big but, huh? In capital letters, small letters. The thing is, we are going to be exposed to more and more international circumstances, different people with different backgrounds. Then you'll be forced to make some sort of compromises. So probably we do. Probably we do. Maybe we survive anyway. Just like the people in Thailand. You know, Thailand.